thank you again for this time. We thank you for the people of God who are not ashamed to be called a believer. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you're doing in North Miami Beach, and just minister your word so clearly, so precise to us this morning, and that the work is a transforming work on the inside of us, which is uncorruptible seed. It can never be taken away. What we hear today will never be taken from us. And what is spoken to us in the midst will be eternal, not temporal. Not a temporal word, but an eternal, everlasting word from your throne. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. And we're in a series. We're in a series. And it's a series of the message of don't give in, don't give up, and keep going. Don't give in, don't give up, and keep going. And it's from our text in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, where Paul tells Timothy, a young preacher, it says, endure hardness or endure hardship. Can you imagine telling people, just endure what you're going through? Just endure, because you're a good soldier. Endure hardship as a good soldier. And then verse 4, and don't be entangled with the details of this life. Or with the, I think the King James says, with the affairs of this life. But that word's not in the original. But that's what it is. We're entangled with everything that this world throws at us, and it's hard to keep going and don't give up. And you know, it's hard to do that when all these things are coming against us, but we understand what kingdom it's coming from. We understand it's from the kingdom of darkness. And then last week we spoke in Luke chapter 10, the second message in this series, where Jesus said, I saw Satan fall as lightning. I saw Satan fall as lightning. The apostles just came back all excited that demons were subject to their voice and to their word. And Jesus said, why are you so, you know, shocked at that? Because I seen Satan fall as lightning. And don't rejoice that Satan and demons are subject to your authority. Don't be impressed with that, but be impressed that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a contrast. And you have a choice today as a believer. You have a choice. You can accept or you can reject. There's no in between. There's no in between in Christianity. So in today's message, Pastor Keith prompted this at last week's wrap. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then 16, this is our topic for today. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the desires of the body, the desire to take, the desire to conquer, the desire to control. That's all the lust of the flesh. When we try to control another person outside of their free volition is legalism, and it's the lust of the flesh. It's the wanting and the holding and the taking. And then the lust of the eyes, which is every everything that comes into the eye socket. Our minds are cameras. Whatever you see, your mind records it like that. And it puts it within in your conscience, makes you aware of what you're seeing. Things that you don't like, things that difficult things that happen to you, you'll store that in your subconscious, but it's still there. And it came through by sight. And then the pride of life is which we are going to talk about today. If you want to follow what I'm going to be talking about, you can turn in your Bibles now to Genesis. And we're going to be in Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 2, 16 and 17, God told Adam that he can partake of any tree in the garden, any of the fruit. Every fruit that you see is edible and good for you, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not partake, for the day that you partake of that, you shall surely die. This is what God told Adam. Adam related to Eve. And then in chapter 3, the serpent speaks to Eve. The devil through the serpent speaks to Eve in chapter 3 and said, "Did God really say this? Did God really say this?" And that question is proposed that we may think, wow, did he? Is it real? Is what God said true? Remember, Eve never heard it. She only heard it from her husband. Did God say that? Well, geez, I really don't know. This is what Adam told me, really. But I believe him. Did God really say it? And then Eve says, and she didn't really get it the way God told Adam. She was close. She said, God said that we can eat of it in every fruit. Everything that we can see, every fruit in the garden we can partake of. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we shall not partake. Matter of fact, said we should not partake and we can't even touch it. You know, don't even reach out and touch that. You know, Adam was probably putting a little legalism on her, you know. But from the day we touch it, then we shall surely die. And Satan responds immediately, says, you will not die. So first of all, did God say you will die? To now to the point, you will not die. You will not die. And remember this whole thing. He was part right, but a part truth is always a lie, by the way. Part truth is a lie. So the part truth is they didn't die physically, but they died spiritually that day. There was a spiritual death that took place. And they would die later. And all of that was passed on to all mankind. And then he said this, that your eyes will be open to good and evil. Your eyes will be open to good and evil, and you will be like gods. You will be like gods. So, in this fall, by the way, what took place was a detachment. There was a separation that took place, a detachment. But that wasn't the only thing. This sin also brought in a curse. So remember that. Those two things that are going to be taking place, and we'll cover both of those. So Satan says, you will not die, for your eyes will be open, and you will know good from evil. You will know this. You will be enlightened to it. And really what's taken place is their eyes were open, but their eyes were open now to self. And that is pride. Pride is putting yourself before anything. And it's what the world is going to promote. The world is going to promote this prideful action within us. And people think pride is just arrogance and boastful and all that. But it's also the other side is also true, where you'll say, oh, I can't do that for God. I'm not equipped to do that. You know, where you're even feeling sorry for yourself, or you're not trusting in God when he tells you to do something. Not believing you can be used by God is also pride. It's arrogance. We'll cover that maybe a little later. But you're going to be open. You're going to now be aware of self. And automatically that took place, where God said, Adam, where are you? And Adam said, well, I was afraid and I hid myself because I was naked. Didn't even answer the question. God said, who told you you were naked? That was awareness. He's now aware of himself, and he's aware of this condition. And boy, are we aware of our conditions. Regularly, we are aware of different things that happen to us in our lives. Pride. All comes from the root of pride. Being aware. Self-awareness. Self-analytical. Self-evaluations. All in pride. All from the root of pride. And you ever notice that, you know, in normal psychology, it's like pride is not discussed a lot. There's no chat groups. There's no social media on pride. You know, this is because it's the root. If you're admitting pride, then you must admit iniquity, because the Bible says in Ezekiel 28 that iniquity was first found in Satan. This pride, this arrogance that was found in Satan. And in Isaiah 14, Satan uses five I wills. I will exalt myself against the Most High. I will build my throne among the heavens. I will promote my kingdom above all the stars. Five I wills of pride. It's all I will, I will, I will. It's always I. It's always I. And it's always self. What is the latest thing in the social media thing? It's a selfie. Really? Really? You got to take a picture of yourself? What is wrong with that? What is wrong with taking pictures? You can't find somebody, hey, can you take a picture of me, please? You got to do it yourself? Chrissy? So, it's self-awareness now. And then he said, well, what did he say the second time? He says, and you will be like gods. And it's small g with an S on the end, I mean pluralized. And this word is amazing in the original Hebrew. Because the words, it means Elohim, which is a name for God. It's where God said to the children of Israel, I will be your God and you will be my people. And Satan is coming in and now and saying to people, because he thinks he's got all of mankind now. He fell because of pride. And now he's scattering that same seed to affect all of mankind. All of mankind will experience this in one way or one form or another. And it's spreading. And it's exactly Satan's plan to infect them, infectious evil, with pride. You will be like Elohim. You will be, it means not you're not going to be like a God. You are going to be God, is what they're saying. And there's a religion out there. There's religious things out there now promoting people that they can take steps of even Gnosticism where they can be like God. Scientology is a great example of that religion, of what it's promoted. Steps of wisdom to become like God. So Satan's thing, remember, Satan says, I want to be above God. So he's going to be above, and all the people are going to be like God. And God is going to be common to man with no effect. This is what the claim was. This is what he was telling them to do. So in Genesis 2, yeah, in Genesis 2, where God said, you shall surely die. And that was that spiritual death, that spiritual separation. And the Apostle Paul, in the book of Romans, took this same story, this same chapter, and theologically explains it to such an amazing degree for the hearer and the believer. You guys with me this morning? Amen. And it says, by one man's disobedience, by one man's sin, and that sin, by that one act, that sin entered into the world, and because of that sin, then death. That's John 5:12. But then by one man's obedience, it says righteousness, the gift of righteousness breeds life. And that's Romans 5:17, 18, and 19. So by one man, that sin from Adam and Eve, death, according to God. But by one man's obedient act, and that was the act of Jesus Christ, by that act, all could live. So you're faced with your decision today. Choose you this day that you will serve. You have life and death. Life and death. That's our choice. There's no other choice. And Lewis Perry Schaeffer put it this way when he's talking about the good and the evil and this pride. He says, your eyes will be open and you will know good from evil. This is part of it. And think about that for a minute. I mean, what was attractive to Eve to say, yes, I want that? Because she had goodness already. They had the goodness of God. They had greater goodness than what we have in goodness. You don't know goodness unless you're in God's presence and experiencing the goodness of God. So they had a high, extreme level of the goodness of God. So the only thing left is then evil. So you're going to partake because you want to know what evil is? But that's how it came to. And so then in this evil, and just to show you how the knowledge of good and evil and pride reach both sides, because today we partake, if you don't have Christ in life, you're partaking of the tree of good and evil. You can partake of the good tree and be morally good, ethically good. But there are other people who are evil, partake of that side of the tree. It's still the same tree. It's one tree. It's a tree of, it's not two trees. It's one tree. It's good and evil. Some of you are, you don't know which way to go, so you partake a little bit of good and a little bit of evil. You're on both sides. But the bottom line, it's still death. The tree of good and evil is still death, because there's another tree in the garden, and that's the tree of life. And that's what Christ offers. To live. You know, some of you say, well, I'm living. Yeah, biologically, you're alive. But spiritually, the Bible says you're dead if you don't know Christ. There's a spirit within man that was detached at this time and separated. And God never left them. We leave him. God is always there. And he's always gracious. And he's always offering. And he's always telling us to come. So with this evil then comes failure. And comes all these other elements of things that are not even unjust. Even guilt and shame and condemnation come from that. You know, we are even victims even when we didn't do it. We're guilty. We're guilty as being a victim, let alone doing the crime. We're guilty on both sides. It doesn't take much to make us feel that way. And it's a false sense. And it's from pride. Pride will never tell you who you are. Will never let you experience what God has for you in your life. Because it's always pointing back to yourself. And the Bible's got an amazing remedy for that. And it's called the cross. The cross deals with all of that. So in chapter 3 of Genesis, after the fall, after the temptation, Satan, by the way, will always appeal to the natural desires of man. We have needs, and he'll always appeal to those desires. It's an appeal of pride. Pride is to think outside of the will of God. Anytime we're thinking outside of God's will and thinking of ourselves, we're walking in pride. We're walking in arrogance and pride. Legalism is nothing but pride. It's saying, I don't like Christ's way. I think this is the way we should do church. Conforming people, condemning people, telling them how to act and how to believe without coming to Christ in liberty and freedom. They can never experience the grace of God because we're too busy playing church. We're too busy telling people what's wrong with them. You know, we love to control people. And it's never should be done. You never allow people the freedom to experience Christ in their calling. So now it talks about the curse. And the curse was to the serpent, the curse was to Eve, and the curse was to man. Right? Woman would be, you'll be greatly multitude, your sorrow will be greatly multiplied in childbearing, and men will sow the ground and sow the seed and till the land. But the problem is it's not going to be good for soil and for planting. All this other stuff is going to be growing up with it. So, because they are aware of self now, the greatest thing self does is it never takes responsibility. It starts blaming people. So, Eve blamed the serpent, and Adam blamed Eve. You gave me that woman. You gave it to me. You know, it's not my fault. She did it. You know, I mean, because we don't never want to take responsibility for our own actions. Pride, arrogance, pride. So God then deals with the serpent first, Satan, and he says, you will crawl on your belly all the days of your life eating dust. And when I was bit, that's what I told it. We know where you're going. I'm going to hop out of here, but I know where you're going. And that was that curse to Satan. And then it's amazing because now he's going to deal with Eve, Listen closely. This is good. He's going to deal with Eve, and then he's going to deal with Adam. But before he does that, he lays out his redemptive plan. Before the curse, the plan. After Satan, before man. He didn't do it in the beginning. He didn't do it before, because Satan doesn't have a redemptive plan. Satan exalted itself against the Most High God, and the place for him and all the demons that he infected with pride is going to be in the lake of fire. So hell was never made for man, because the redemptive plan is right here after that curse. And he says this. He said there's going to be the seed that's going to come from the woman. That's in Genesis 3:15. The seed will come from the woman. He said, and that seed, his heel will be bruised, but you will crush that serpent's head. And Jesus Christ was bruised. He had to be bruised. It's part of this right in the beginning of Genesis. This is the first sign of good news. This is the first sign of grace to the believer, that by grace you are saved through faith, not of works. It's a gift. God has this amazing gift for you, and it's called eternal life. It's to be present with him forever, for eternity. Those that reject him, your sin's not going to send you to hell. You rejecting Jesus Christ is going to send you to hell, because by pride you rejected the provision. This is why it's here, right in the middle. So Satan bruised his heel, and Christ upon the cross was bruised. They bruised him. He was turned over to wicked men that crucified him, that whipped him, that beat him, that nailed him to a cross, and he was bruised. But the great thing about that is he rose again. And there's this, you don't think that after they would crucify a man for the next periods of time, they'd never be able to find a body? And believe me, the Pharisees looked hard, and the Roman soldiers searched everywhere. Unable to, it's all they had to do is produce a body, and this religion goes away. It's done. And they're still looking. The world is still looking. Unable to find, because they want to prove that their self is greater than God. And Jesus then would crush Satan's head and would crush pride with it. And would crush death. Satan came to bring death. The lie was, you will not die. Oh, yes, you will. He went completely against God in this lie that spreads through all of mankind through pride. And then he deals with the curses of Adam and Eve after. And I love the way it's before, because man can always go back to the redemptive plan. Satan cannot. He's got nothing to go back to. In Hebrews chapter 2, in closing, verse 14. It's a great verse, because it says that this is where Jesus Christ crushes the curse. The curse is crushed. There is no curse. You know, there's a lot of different curses that have been passed on, maybe the generation, but those are broken once you come to Jesus Christ as your Savior. And this curse is crushed, and it says, by destroying death. Christ on the cross destroyed death. There is no death. There is no death for the believer. they pass from death unto life. One of the biggest fears is the fear of dying. And there is no fear for the believer, because we have an eternal promise that was given to us. And we get to believe and stand upon this word for our own self. And we believe that Jesus Christ, and the reason why he was bruised was for all the sin to be poured upon him. The sins of the world were put upon Jesus Christ. So now we don't need no more sacrifice. It's a once and for all sacrifice that we can live in this victory. We don't fear death, and we don't fear the devil anymore. He's got no more power over the believer. So 2:14, he crushed death. He crushed the curse. He crushed death, and he crushed Satan all along with it. Crushed by the promise. The promise crushes them. We live in the promise. We get to continue our walk because of the promise. We don't have to give in to life's circumstances because of the promise. We don't have to give up when things come our way because of the promise. We get to keep going with what we hear because of the promise. This is what satisfies us. This is what keeps us going. And we have a promise today. We have a promise. Specifically, as a corporate body, we have a promise. But each person, individual, has a promise today. And it's eternal life. In 1 John 5, 12, 13, says, these things are written that you may know. Know what? What's it so important that I must need to know? That you can have eternal life. That becomes a promise. And we hold it. And now we put our faith in the one that gave us that promise. We put our faith in Christ. I don't put my faith in self. If you start putting your faith in self, you're gonna find yourself digging yourself out of problems all the time. You know, because things come against us so often. But crushed by the promise. Crushed by the promise. So remember, when they were separated, as they were separated in the garden, this separation or this detachment, they lost God consciousness. They were not aware of him no more. God was in the same place he was every day, and they weren't there. And it's not that God didn't know where they were when he said, where are you? He knew, but he needed them to see that they weren't in the place. So they lost God conscious and became conscious of themselves. Are you conscious of everything around you today? Are you conscious of everything you do? I mean, we have to be a certain way, act a certain way. You know, mothers do this a lot. Oh, I need to raise my child a certain way and things like that. Or, you know, and we're fully consumed by the actions of the baby. Let him be a kid, man. You're going to, you know, you're trying to do things and mold that kid. But you know what? They need so much love, and that they just need love. They need love today. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the word of God today. We thank you by the obedience of one man. The gift of righteousness reigns in life. The reigning promise of God's life. For somebody here that has never accepted Christ, you're not joining a church. You're not joining a religion. We're talking about just you and God. You have one thing. You have sin in your life. And that's what separates you from God. Not your behavior. Just the sin. And Christ died on the cross for that sin. He paid the price. And you know what? The Bible says he paid it in full. Which means he leaves no debt to you at all. You don't have to pay for any of your sin. He paid it all. If there's somebody here today that has never accepted Christ, believe in the free gift of salvation. It's by grace you are saved through faith. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. And if you'd like to do that today, if the Holy Spirit is touching your heart today, and you know what? The Bible says when you accept Christ that the Holy Spirit's going to come in you. And you're going to be what we call is born again. Just say this in your heart, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. And I also know that I can't save myself. I need a Savior. I need a Savior. If you said that for the first time, just lift up your hand and put it down real quick. I just want to pray for you. Accept Christ. Don't leave here without it. Because you are not guaranteed tomorrow. Today is the day. Today is the day that he's knocking on your heart. Yes, just put that up and put it back down. Let me pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We just thank you, Father, for the word of God. Let these words richly dwell within us. Lord, we pray for the closing song, and we pray for the offering, Lord, for your kingdom. We just thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.